a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, he need cut a deep in.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Wendy, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Native Roots Trading Post. We will be at the Minnesota State Fair starting Thursday, August 25th through Monday, September 5th, and we're really excited about it.
Ooh, it's getting nerve-wracking.
Yeah, we have a lot to do.
2.8 possible customers going through the doors in those 12 days. We're going to run out of stuff.
Come on and see us. We support Native American artists.
And we'll have enough money so we can do some therapy after that, too. Leftover, right, Wendy?
Therapy, yes. Yeah. Therapy.
Hey, I just want to give a shout-out to a couple of our stations, Wendy, that are listening to us on the network here.
Yeah.
Do you want to give them a couple shout-outs?
Sure. As you know, we're on AM 950, Devil's Radio 92.7 Madison. We're WTTN 1580 AM Columbus. Walk WAUK 540 and 101 FM The Shaw, Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230 Wassa, and locally grown radio WFHR 1320 and 97.5 Wisconsin Rapids Stevens Point.
Hey, Wendy, I know there's a lot of Ho-Chunks in Stevens Point, Wisconsin, so I just wanted to give them a quick
Yeah.
Hey, we're doing a little something different here today. Normally we do Rock the Vote Native Style, and we are going to be doing Rock the Vote Native Style, just in a little different format. We're going to have Ogama do the news, and Wendy, you're going to finish up the show with our sacred animal section that I can't wait. I saw you post a few things.
Yeah.
And we were just in New York together, so I know we both will have a lot to say. Mm-hmm. We're going to have Amber Torres on today, chairman of the Walker River Paiute Tribe in Nevada. And I am just like, I always want to say chairperson, but everywhere I see it, or chairwoman, but it says chairman, so I'm going to say that until Amber corrects this. But before we get any further down this rabbit hole of me jumbling, let's get to Ogama with the news that you don't hear anywhere else. We got Ogama with the Native news you don't hear anywhere else, Wen.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome.
Bonjour, Anine, everybody. I'm Ogama Ganuakwe. I'm a citizen of the Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota, and I've got some news for you here on Native Roots Radio. Big news today, President Joe Biden signed a landmark climate and health care bill. That's today, Tuesday. Yep. And basically, this is going to do some pretty substantial federal investment to fight climate change. There's $375 billion over the course of the next 10 years towards climate change. And this would also cap prescription drug costs at $2,000 per year for Medicare recipients. And it also helps to extend subsidies for Americans to pay for health care insurance, estimating about 13 million people to help pay for health insurance here. This measure is going to be paid for by new taxes on large companies. And it also stepped up IRS enforcement of wealthy individuals and entities with additional funds going to reduce the federal deficit. So this is all great news. Unfortunately, it's coming a little bit too late, as the United States is currently facing severe water shortages in the Southwest. Lake Mead is incredibly low right now, and this is just as historic as this climate bill is just as historic as this severe drought. A lot of people are referring to this as a native drought. The Colorado River has pretty much reached a critical condition. The federal government has declared the first ever shortage on the Colorado River as of last summer, and that triggered cuts to water supplies in the Southwest, and things have really only gotten worse since then. The scary part about this is that water from the Colorado River nourishes a pretty significant portion of our most fertile fields for food and crops in the United States, and powers about $1.5 trillion of annual economic activity. Where it ends now, it starts about in the headwaters in the Rockies, and it goes about 1,400 miles, and it goes to a delta in northern Mexico, and it ends there in a trickle, and it's barely going. So this is kind of terrifying. Is this something that you have concerns, Robert, Wendy?
Oh, absolutely. Big concerns. This is, you know, like you said, it's a little too late, but I'm just happy that it's happening now and that, you know, people are becoming aware of what's going on. And, you know, there's going to be water shortages all over the United States, and we're all going to have to conserve.
All over the world. And, you know, we're seeing drought the year before, and now we're seeing too much rain in the beginning and not anymore.
Yeah.
The Mississippi's really low up here in the Twin Cities, Minnesota. This is just the beginning, and we need to do something for our next seven generations.
Mm-hmm.
Right, which is why this climate change bill is so great, or the Inflation Reduction Act, which is so confusing to me with that title, but it does do that. Just another note on the Southwest water shortage, Lake Powell and Lake Mead, which are the two biggest reservoirs in the country, were nearly full in the year 2000, and they're running at under 30% capacity right now, which is incredibly dangerous. So that is something that I wonder if Chairman Amber Torres may talk about when she's on, as her tribe is in Arizona, and maybe looking at some of those shortages. And there's, you know, there's tribes in the Southwest in the U.S. that have been without water for years, that have not had access to clean water. So these kinds of things are not new to Native people. Unfortunately, we're the first and the worst affected by these types of things. So, and a bit of good news in Native country, the Academy of the, is it the Oscars?
Yes, the Oscars.
Yes, so the Oscar Academy is actually apologizing to Sasheen Littlefeather about 50 years after she stood up to give a speech on behalf of Marlon Brando, turning down his Oscar for Best Actor for The Godfather.
Mm-hmm.
So she's told pretty much every major outlet that I could see that she never thought she would live to see the day that she would be hearing or experiencing this. She's now 75. She was 25 mm-hmm. when she took the podium. So that is a pretty substantial apology that's happening. The way you're saying, mm-hmm, Robert and Wendy, this sounds like you talked about this yesterday when I wasn't here.
No,
we didn't
talk about it yesterday, but we were talking about it off air with each other, yes.
Well, one of the things, too, that's interesting is a lot in the last year or two, there's been a lot of information coming back from that John Wayne wanted to get out there and remove her physically, and people stopped him. And I had never heard that in all the years that, you know, we've seen the speech on YouTube. We've heard the speech. It's been on, you know, newsreels over the years. I never heard that. And that makes sense.
She was threatened with arrest if her speech went over 60 seconds. And she used the podium to talk about the American Indian Movement activists protesting the treatment of Native Americans at Wounded Knee, because the U.S. Department of Justice had actually imposed a media blackout on the issue, which is part of the reason why she brought that up in her speech.
And Marlon, as crazy as he was and all these books that had come out over the years about him, he really loved Indigenous people, and he loved Indigenous people of the North, too.
Yes.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I'm really, really glad to see that she's getting an apology, although, I mean, an apology letter 50 years later, I don't know if that would do more harm or, you know, what – I mean, obviously – Sasheen Littlefeather is grateful for that. And there's going to be an honoring during an event on September 17th at the Academy Museum in Los Angeles. Wow. And they're actually going to issue the statement of apology and read it in full there. So that will be some sort of healing, I think, for a lot of people who've witnessed this. But
yeah, it's been a thorn. Mm-hmm. It's been great. Mm-hmm. That she did that. And it was right during the occupation of the American Indian Movement had at Wounded Knee. So it was great timing and everything, and I know it fired them up. Hey, up next, Amber Torres, chairperson. We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Course Breaks helps provide free digital textbooks to college students in underserved communities. But how does it work? Course Breaks works with a network of publishers that provide free digital textbooks to students with sponsorships covering the cost. These textbooks have been used in thousands of colleges and universities. And Course Breaks is currently being offered in all tribal colleges and universities and historically black colleges and universities. To discuss a corporate or private contribution, visit CourseBreaks.com.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Come see the Native Roots Trading Post at the West End Market of the Minnesota State Fair. Native Roots Trading Post is Native-owned and operated. Shop goods from local and national Native artists that you'll love instantly. Native Roots Trading Post is supporting Native artists this year at the Minnesota State Fair, August 25th to September 5th. Native Roots Trading Post, we support Native artists and you can too. Buy Native at the Native Roots Trading Post this year at the Minnesota State Fair.
Bijou. I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Hey, we have an awesome guest on, and what's really, you know, I was thinking about Amber, Wendy, and do you remember when COVID first hit and we were doing symposiums on Sunday all mm-hmm. over Turtle Island?
Yeah.
And Amber was on almost every week, and it was just great to hear, you know, it was almost a healing thing for a lot of people, mm-hmm. just what was going on. And that was before we had the vaccines
yeah.
and what was going on in different nations. And Amber always checked in. And I just want to say, Ahu, thank you for stopping in. You know, Amber, introduce yourself, because we have so many more listeners now on our network here. We are blowing up, and it's because of people like you. So I would love for you to tell our audience a little bit about you and where you're located.
Yeah, definitely. I'm very, very excited for all the opportunities and blessings that are coming your guys' way. I do remember, you know, being on in the early stages, and just excited to sit here and share the space with you guys once again, because I know everybody's schedules are so busy right now. But absolutely, Pija Tabino, me Amber Torres, me na nia nua agari kata pointabi na agaigwe. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Amber Torres. I'm the chairman for the Walker River Paiute Tribe in Shurs, Nevada. In Nevada, there's 28 tribes here, and I'm just privileged to be the leader of just one small nation within. So thank you for having me today.
Well, just to back up a second, and it's our pleasure to have you on and check in. And we remember when you guys closed the borders, and that was so powerful in the beginning of
yeah.
COVID. And there was reasons why, because there was roads going by your nation that people weren't masking up and taking it serious, right?
Yeah, yeah. If you can remember, you know, when COVID first hit, you know, we have our elders and our youth, which were our most precious commodity on the reservation. And we wanted to make sure to shut down our borders to keep everybody protected and keep COVID at bay. And we did, you know, close our reservation. We closed our recreational area that's within the reservation borders. And, you know, we even went as far to make sure that, you know, our tribal citizens that didn't permanently reside here, you know, couldn't come home in the fear that, you know, the COVID-19 would be spread to our tribal citizens that lived on res. So, you know, we took major precautions. I'm still happy to say that, you know, we're without COVID right now, which is spectacular. Although it's not gone away, we've done a tremendous job with the amazing staff, the emergency management team, you know, all the emergency personnel that we have on board. And we really had only lost a handful of people, you know, while I hear other nations talk about how many people they had lost. You know, it's unfortunate, it hurts, but I know that, you know, our team did a very good job in taking care of our tribal constituents, our community, and each other. So,
go ahead, Wayne.
Amber, I was just curious to know, what's your vaccination rate there?
You know, we, the last time that I had looked, we were at 64%, I want to say. You know, we actually did a Vax for Cash incentive on our vaccinations, the very first round, and we've done incentives on both boosters now, you know, so that we can get our people to vaccinate. Again, that's their choice, but, you know, we wanted to show them that we were very, very interested in investing in their health, as well as, you know, the outside as well. Our community, because we didn't just offer it to our tribal citizens, we offered it to the community to make sure that we were taking care of one another. So, you know, we are doing pretty good as far as a lot of vaccinations with the original two shots and then both sets of boosters. So we're doing pretty good here. We only have about 900 to 1,000 community members and tribal citizens that reside on the reservation. But like I said, we've been COVID free for, you know, a little while now. And I contribute that to just everything that everybody's done to take care of one another.
Wow, that's awesome. Hey, I have a quick question. As you probably, I don't know if you remember this, Amber, but I'm a legislator for Ho-Chunk Nation now.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
That's my real job. And I don't really talk about it much on the radio, but what I would like you to do is talk about, because I know all the governments are different, what kind of structure of government do you have down there?
You know, we are a seven-man council that are here. We have a separation of powers, but we don't have, you know, legislative and judicial. It's just one tribal council that runs and operates everything, every subject matter on the reservation. We don't have any off-reservation members at this time. Everybody resides on the reservation. But, you know, that's how we're structured here at Walker River. And, you know, it works for right now. I'm happy to say that we just finished our you know, checking everything off of the list of our strategic planning that we had done back in 2016 and now working on, you know, what our steps forward look like as far as strategic planning for the next 5 years out. So, you know, we've done a lot in a short amount of time, and I'm very, very proud of the work that we do here at Walker River.
I don't know if you've been paying attention to all of us up here in Minnesota, but our national laws or our state laws become law on July, I don't know, like 6th or some weird July date. And it got through that we could sell THC gummies here. And like the Republicans were like, what? Did I sign that? And I don't know if they were all acting that way, but they acted that way to their constituents. Yeah. And so now Minnesota can sell, I don't know, it's like a 3-2 beer. It's like gummies with THC, and they're able to sell that at dispensaries. And I understand you have a dispensary down there. Can you give us any information or any tips?
Yeah, definitely. You know, there's tribes in Nevada that really took a look at, you know, the elephant in the room. We also know that our elders were leaving the reservation to get their CBDs, their tinctures, you know, their medicine. And we wanted to start looking at the future of the reservation and economic development. And, you know, we actually went into the state with a few other tribes here in Nevada and negotiated a compact, you know, on what was going to be the best for Walker River. At that time, you know, there was a lot of tribal nations in Nevada that were opening dispensaries, and we thought we would go with the cultivation aspect of, you know, the of the business first. That way, you know, we would be able to grow and sell to those dispensaries. So we actually got on board with the cultivation portion first. And then April of 2021, we opened our dispensary here on two major highways, you know, thinking that, you know, for a lot of the travelers and, you know, most of all for our tribal citizens that are here that need access to their medicine, it would be right here, located right next to our smoke shop. So we do have that, you know, it's doing well right now. We also have a drive-through that's located on it as well, and the online capability for them to order and pick up or what have you. But, you know, it's definitely showed us about sovereignty and making our own decisions. And, you know, again, the economic growth factor. And, you know, we definitely had to get buy-in from our tribal citizens and our community before we hit the ground running. But, you know, I'm happy to say that, you know, we are in that business and we are looked at as a best practice. And, you know, we're always open to sharing ideas or, you know, any information that we can to help other tribal nations get in the game too.
Right. And, you know, I've reached out too, and I'll be reaching out too again, because we have that, well, I won't say it over the line. Oh, won't have all the people listening to. But hey, what we got only a minute here for this segment. I just wanted to ask you just to switch gears here. Have you seen Prey yet?
I have. You know, I actually watched it on the first night it premiered, and you know, I thought it was, some parts were a little far fetched, but I loved seeing our Native people on screen. You know, especially the youth. The actors, what they brought to the table, hearing the language, you know, I thought it was great to have Indigenous people at the forefront and to see them on the big screen, to see Indian country so excited about it, as well as, you know, your non-Indians, you know, really, really checking it out and getting excited about it. You know, and I've said it for the last few months, Natives are taking over the world. We're coming back in a major way.
Yeah, and we really are. And, I, you know, a lot of that for me, because we started our show in 2016 or 17, right at the end of Standing Rock, and we needed to really get information out there because we saw so much, I guess it's a cliche now, but fake news about what was going on at Standing Rock that we started this radio show. And now I think since Standing Rock, we've really gotten a lot of good coverage and a lot of things from authors to everyone. Heather, can you stick with us for another quick segment? We can talk a little. Amber, can you stick with us for a quick another segment, and we can talk a little politics down there?
Sure, that sounds great. I'm open.
Great. Right on. We're with Amber Torres, chairperson at the Walker River Paiute Tribe in Nevada. We'll be right back after this short break, Wendy.
Stay with us. J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Minnesotans age 65 plus might qualify for Health Partners Minnesota Senior Health Options. The plan includes personal support, coverage for medical prescription drugs and dental, plus over 30 extra benefits. Eligibility information is available at healthpartners.com/oneplan. Health Partners is a health plan that contracts with both Medicare and the Minnesota Medical Assistance Medicaid program to provide benefits of both programs to enrollees. Enrollment in Health Partners depends on contract renewal.
Hi, this is Desi Doyen of the Green News Report and the Bradcast. You're listening to AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
The appliance industry is suffering from major delays with shortages on the horizon. The specialists at Warner Stelling have the area's best selection with thousands of appliances in stock for fast pickup or free delivery. Shop 10 Minnesota stores or at warnerstellion.com.
Hi, I'm Claire Ferreira, president and owner of Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. My grandfather started Standard over 90 years ago, and we've been a family-owned company ever since, serving over 500,000 of our fellow Minnesotans. I'm proud to be the fourth generation of my family working in our business. And when we say we treat our employees and clients like family, we truly mean it. See how we can help your family stay comfortable all year long at standardheating.com. That's standardheating.com.
2022 continues to be a hot real estate market, and any advantage you gain could net you thousands of dollars. If you do plan to move at some point, installing a system from All Energy Solar could increase your resale value and help you sell your home faster. Energy costs will not be going down anytime soon, so a property with a solar energy system could make it much more attractive to potential buyers. Buyers consider electric bills when buying a home, and installing solar panels is viewed as an upgrade. Each kilowatt of solar energy could increase the resale value of your home by thousands of dollars. And even when you sell your home, you'll likely recoup the cost of switching to solar thanks to your increased property value. So if you plan to sell your home, make your home as attractive as possible to buyers by switching to All Energy Solar. Get a free, no-obligation assessment from All Energy Solar by calling 800-620-3370 or visiting allenergysolar.com. That's allenergysolar.com.
Hello, this is Ellie Krug with Ellie 2.0 Radio. Now, my show will be on Saturdays from 10 to 11 and replayed on Sundays from 1 to 2. You will get to the best of Ellie 2.0 with talking about idealism, with guests who come in and who are idealistic, who are trying to change the world, and you will get me, super idealist. Tune in. We can't wait to hear from you, and you'll hear from me Saturdays from 10 to 11.
Are your remote workers putting your company at risk? Not sure what steps to take to secure your data? Hi, Mark Sommerfeld from Rimark. The Rimark team is guiding our clients through these difficult times. In fact, demand has been so high, we created an easy-to-follow guide with the 5 steps to securely work from home. It's yours free. Download our 5 steps to securely work from home now at RimarkIT.com or call 651-328-8255. 8900 for a no-cost how-to discussion.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for partly cloudy skies tonight with a low around 63, Wednesday a chance for thunderstorms with a high near 80, and Thursday more rain with a high around 81. The Great Wall Restaurant has provided a delicious taste of authentic Chinese cuisine since 1981. Specializing in Sichuan and Peking dishes, the Great Wall Restaurant offers one of the most extensive Chinese menus in the Twin Cities. Located just north of 50th and France on the Edina-Minneapolis border, order now at GreatWallEdina.com.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition.
They do such great work, Wendy.
Yes, they sure
they've
do.
Been a partner of ours for quite a few years mm-hmm. here, just to be honored. Hey, we're here with Amber Torres, a chairperson of Walker River Paiute Tribe in Nevada. And you know, Heather, it's great. I keep on saying Heather, Amber, because Heather was supposed to be on today.
I'm thinking of changing
crazy?
My name.
Isn't that crazy?
Good
I'm so
it.
Sorry. All right, Amber. So Amber, let's talk a little bit about what's going on down there. I know I follow you on Facebook and like your posts, and
yeah.
I know Ogama mentioned earlier about the water down there. What's going on down there?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I'm happy to say in the month of August we probably got the most rain that we have in quite some time. But you know, historically we have major drought going on here. Wildfires very close to us. So, you know, I'm really hoping that we're going to be able to go out and harvest our traditional foods, which is the pine nut, because we're coming up on our 91st annual pine nut festival here. And, you know, last year we held it, even though COVID was, you know, still all around us, we held in-person Pine Nut Festival, and you know, it was attended, you know, heavily, which was really great. But we took a lot of precautions to make sure that we were masking up, you know, handing out proper PPE, social distancing, those types of things. And I'm expecting that it's going to be heavily attended this year. But we, you know, last year was the first year that we were not able to hand out our traditional food, which is the pine nut. You know, we close everything down at 8 o'clock. We do our blessing. We have a lot of people join us from all across Turtle Island, and they come out and they dance. And, you know, when we get done doing all the prayers and the blessings for, you know, good harvest of our traditional food, we cook the pine nuts during the week and we hand them out to all the dancers. Last year was the first year in 91 years we were not able to hand out our traditional food. So that really took a toll, you know, on everybody who attended, as well as us, you know, not having our blessing to give to them. But, you know, people understood, and, you know, it was a tough go for everybody all around us here in Nevada. But I'm really hoping that with the significant amount of rain that we received recently, that, you know, we'll be able to go out and find it. So I'm excited
about
that.
That's exciting. One of the things we talked earlier about how we connected with COVID beginnings, I know Wendy and I and a lot of people out there, including yourself, have really kind of fought back physically and emotionally and spiritually. I've been following you, your family's working out, and you guys just did a 50-mile run. Is that right?
Yeah. It was the second year of the annual remembrance run put on by Kutovin Stevens and the Stevens family out of Yarrington Paiute tribe, which is our sister tribe located 30 miles away from us. They really wanted to bring and tell the story of the boarding school era and the awareness and the education and the advocacy to, you know, what our ancestors went through. And Kutovin himself, his great grandfather was 8 years old, and he made that 50-mile trek to try to get home and run away from the boarding school. So this is, again, our second year. You know, there was a lot of participation. It was, you know, not so many runners as last year, because you got to be pretty crazy to run 50 miles through the desert, the treacherous heat that was out there. You know, thank God the family didn't let us go hungry, but you know, it really, when you walk a mile in those shoes of that 8-year-old little boy, or even just our ancestors that, you know, they told the story of running away, you know, from that school, what they endured while they were at that school, it really puts you in that frame of mind of, I'm just suffering, you know, over a 2-day time frame, but these kids went through it every single day. And, you know, whatever they were going through at the school, they were running away, you know, even though they were taking on all these issues. So, you know, like I said, it was sponsored in conjunction with Olympic gold medalist Billy Mills, you know, and, you know, I'm very, very happy that he supported that effort, because it's really brought a lot of education to our non-Indian supporters as well. And, you know, just really, really shed a lot of light on, you know, what our ancestors went through and what we're going to continue to fight for the justice that they deserve. You know, yeah. And even more so, if you follow me on Facebook, you know, I'm honored and privileged to have the ability to now be sitting on the Department of Interior's first ever historical stack committee. And with Deb Hallen, and, you know, I'm ready to get to work on, you know, some of these big issues, such as, you know, the boarding school tour, the reports that are coming out, you know, issues we're having with BIA, you know, and how we can make good sound policy changes, you know, funding changes, mm-hmm. you know, in that short amount of time that we have to do it. So
that's very excited for that. That's really exciting news, you know, and I know you're a doer, and that's awesome to see. One thing, too, just to back up a second, I just feel like in the last few years, people, our elders have been telling stories about the schools and that we never knew. So there's all these stories coming out now. It's just amazing. I heard my great-grandfather kidnapped my grandmother out of a school, and it's just amazing. I never heard that story before.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think that now that the world is listening, they're healing by telling those stories, and they're seeing that we're using our powerful, strong voices to make changes. You know, when we're talking about with our congressional leaders, what can we do now to honor those survivors and those kids that never made it home is start putting that funding towards our language, our culture, our traditions, you know, telling the true story in the school system, you know, the curriculum, all those different types of things. So I'm feeling that they're feeling more trusting in telling those stories so that we know and we can, you know, we can get to work. But you're absolutely right. I'm not just going to talk about it. I'm going to be about it, and I'm going to be right there to do what I need to do.
That's right on. Again, I've always known you as a doer. I think we met at the presidential forum in Iowa. Isn't that right?
Yes, we did. We did. That was the first time I had seen you there doing the same exact thing you're doing now.
Yeah, that's right. We did the radio show there, too. That's crazy. That was crazy. I don't know. Wendy, do you have a question? Because this is just really...
No,
like,
I think it's just fascinating talking with someone who is from a different part of the United States, Nevada, and finding out what's going on there and what's happening. Because we need to, the more we understand what's going on with other nations and tribes, that we could just... you know, really just have a better understanding and be able to fix things.
Right. And that brings me to, and it's a really good point, Amber, how is your government-to-government down there in Nevada? I know a lot of people here in Minnesota definitely listen to us, but we have a lieutenant governor who's native, so that really, really helps. And we have some representatives and state senators that are in our government circle. Not many, but enough to get them paying attention to our needs.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I can say that we have a good government to government on the state level, you know, as well as our congressional leadership as well. You know, we have a good working relationship, but it's all about, you know, collaborating and making those connections and putting yourself out there. And, you know, I've really told a lot of our leaders lately, I'm tired of sitting at that table year after year, asking for what we need. I'm going to start demanding, and I'm going to really need you to listen. You know, yeah. And I think that, you know, when we talk about being in different parts of Turtle Island, is regardless, you know, that we're all unique tribes, we probably all face the same issues, and we need to collectively have that unified voice, you know, so we can help each other. But, you know, I can say here that we have a wonderful working relationship with the governor. You know, Governor Sisolak, he's very supportive. In fact, he was at the remembrance run on Sunday when we came in off of the 50 miles, you know, to greet us and talk, you know, give his heartfelt apologies, as well as our congressional leader, Senator Cortez Masto. You know, she is a true champion for Indian country. You know, she's one of our Nevada delegation, as well as Senator Jackie Rosen. She also sent some of her staffers over to attend. So, you know, having that support at that level is spectacular. Being on a first name basis, being able to call them and say, hey, you know, I need your support on this. Where do you, you know, where do you sit on this? But also with, you know, Senator Cortez Masto, she's also on Senate on Indian Affairs. So she helps all of us, you know, so it's very, very important that we get, you know, these main two people back in office, because not only do they help us here in Nevada, they help us across, you know, everything that we're doing with all of our tribal nations. And when it comes to Native issues, they're right there at the forefront. So, you know, we have a good working relationship. So,
wow, that's great news. Ogama, do you have anything before we let Amber go?
You know, just that I wanted to make sure that you know that, you know, we've got prayers up here in Minnesota as you're dealing with water shortages and wildfires and all of those things down the Southwest. It's a scary time to be alive. And I think in that same note that you're talking about, a lot of tribes deal with the same issues, and we need to, you know, unite to make our voices heard. We also need to support each other as tribes and as people to uplift everybody and make sure that we all have what we need. So I hope that you all stay safe and healthy down there.
Yeah. Thank you so much for that. And I think, you know, we just, have that same feeling everywhere to every nation that, you know, all of us are successful and empower one another and bring up our youth to take on these roles and responsibilities and, you know, pave that way for your baby and for the next seven generations, you know, because we've got a lot of work to do. But, you know, again, I just appreciate the ability to share the space with you guys, share the good medicine, share best practices, you know, because we have to support one another. So, Pijat you, thank you for having
well,
me.
Well, Amber, I want to say, Pini Gigi, thank you so much for coming on. And love to have you on again soon because these are good words that you bring to us. And it's like Ogama and Wendy mentioned, it's great to know what's happening with our brothers and sisters down south. Really, it's great to hear from you.
Absolutely. And you guys are so blessed to have your lieutenant governor. She is absolutely a rock star.
We love Peggy Flanagan.
Absolutely. Hey,
that was Amber Torres, chairperson of Walker River Paiute Tribe in Nevada. We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us. Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me, Wen. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Don't fall for vaccine misinformation. Local medical professionals are available to answer any of your questions. Initial shots and boosters are safe for people who are pregnant and even young children. Right now, vaccines are available for anyone over 6 months of age, while boosters are available for anyone over the age of five. This message brought to you by the Native American Community Clinic. Find a vaccination site by calling 651-304-9986 or visit vaccineconnector.mn.gov.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! Yeah, wait until Ogama's little baby can start howling.
Yeah, we have to get Anna too, to howl. Yeah, Anna does one of our taglines.
Two, I think. Yeah, doesn't she does a commercial and a tagline.
That's right.
Wow. That, I just have to say, we were talking a little bit between commercials here. We do listen to our sponsors and our commercials, don't get me wrong. But that was a great interview.
Yeah.
I mean,
Amber's
I should say
great,
a great guest.
Yeah.
I'm not a good interviewer, but that was a great guest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's awesome.
Yeah, we'll have to have her on again. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she we had a different show at like 3 o'clock or 3:30 today, and she I reached out to her, and mm-hmm. she said no problem.
Yeah, last minute.
And yeah, and what a great show.
Yeah.
So, hey, I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy. Wendy's been an animal advocate for many years, and she works tirelessly on animal issues. I can't talk today, but when can I? And we have a sacred animal section on this show that we've been doing for over 6 years, mm-hmm. and I learn so much about our relatives.
As do I.
So I think I know what you're going to talk about today, and I'd like to join in with your conversation. But welcome.
Yes, thank you, everybody. Hi, my name is Hanajihi Hani, and that means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level, and it's always my pleasure to do that. You know, Robert, I've been going back and forth to New York a lot.
Yeah.
And every time I go into Manhattan, you know, around Central Park, and I'm kind of visiting around that area, I'm still seeing these carriage horses, right? The horse-drawn carriages where tourists get in them.
Yeah.
And these horses walk around the city in all kinds of heat. They do have a 90 degree. That's their cutoff. When it's 90 degrees, the horses have to get back, put back in. The thing that they don't do is they don't take into consideration the dew point or the humidity, right? So, I mean, if it's 85 degrees and the dew point and the humidity is very high, it could be over. The heat index could be definitely over 90 degrees, which they don't take. They just take the temperature. But anyway, I have an article here. It's from CBS News. It is dated August 12th, and it's written by Michael Rapalolo.
Before you get on there, do you remember last time I was thinking I gave them the finger? But what I did was I gave him a thumbs down, and then he gave us the finger.
Thumbs down, yeah. When I was there the last time, too, I just said, your days are numbered, and he gave me the finger, so whatever. No. But anyway, I just want to read this article quickly and then talk about what's happening. So videos show a horse collapse in the middle of the street during rush hour, and police watering down the fallen horse had animal rights groups protesting outside City Hall on Thursday. This is last week, Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
The Wednesday incident reignited calls for the city to ban horse carriages in New York City. Quote, yet another sick carriage horse has collapsed in distress on the hot pavement of New York City as onlookers express shock and horror while the animal was repeatedly beaten by the driver.
What?
Executive director of the animal advocacy organization NY Class tells CBS News, how many more horrific tragedies will it take to end carriage horse abuse in New York City? Witnesses quickly began filming after the 14-year-old horse named Ryder fell at the intersection of West 45th Street and 9th Avenues. Quote, as I was walking through my neighborhood to get to the gym, I heard an unusual thud, Kristen Parker told CBS News. I looked over my shoulder and saw a horse on the ground in the middle of busy 9th Avenue. One video shows the carriage driver whipping Ryder with the reins and then smacking the horse while saying, get up. 911 was called, according to NYPD, and mounted officers were filmed spraying the horse with water. Quote, after the police got the horse up and off to the veterinarian, the man picked up his own carriage and walked it away. Lots of people started shouting, how does it feel? Said Parker.
Mm.
It was a very New York moment when they were all yelling at him.
Yes.
Yeah, and
what
I could say
heck?
It. Yeah. So the horse was moved to a nearby private horse stable for veterinary care, a police spokesman told CBS News. The veterinarian later diagnosed Ryder with equine EPM, which is a protozoal type of parasite, and which the horse gets from possum droppings. And it seems to be very common with the horses, but not all horses ever show any problems with it.
Weird.
Yeah. So, you know, this is a problem, and that the owner of the horse is on film beating the horse and, you know, whipping the horse, telling the horse to get up.
Nice.
Yeah. So, a friend of mine on Facebook, I don't know him personally, his name is Scott Beckstead. Now, Scott is the director of campaigns at the Center for a Humane Economy. He's the director of campaigns at Animal Wellness Action, and he's an adjunct professor of law at Willamette University College. And yesterday, this is what he posted. So yesterday, the Center for Humane Economy called for a temporary work stop for carriage horses in New York City to allow time for an independent veterinary medical review of the physical condition of more than 160 horses registered to pull carriages on city streets and in Central Park in New York. NY Class, the nonprofit group that has focused so much attention on the plight of horses in this industry, has endorsed this plan. The center is urging New York City officials to declare a halt to commercial horse carriage rides effective immediately and to last through the end of summer, September 21st, to allow for physical examination of the horses in the wake of the 14-year-old horse in poor body condition and with muscle wasting going on down last week during the workday. That was Ryder who went down. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's more than one horse there. If you've never been to the city by
Central Park. They're lined up.
Right.
Right. There's 160 of them that run in the city.
And the carbon monoxide from cars, the heat.
Can I just say that this would not be happening if these were dogs? You know, people tend to be in an uproar. You know, they fight mm-hmm. for the rights of dogs and cats and birds yep. and rabbits and other things. And then, you know, we allow things like horse races and horse carriage rides. And
well, I'll tell you, a month ago, I was out with some friends. I was over in the Stone Arch in Minneapolis,
right.
Stone Arch. I was on Southeast Main Street mm-hmm. in Minneapolis over by the Stone Arch Bridge. And there's a guy there who has a horse and he has a carriage, a big carriage. I mean, it could fit probably 12 people in there. And it was a very, very hot night. We were sitting outside having dinner and this guy was walking back and forth over and over and over and over again with his horse. And it's just horrible. It's just hard. We need to stop this. People, don't ride the horses, okay? Stay off the carriages. We need to change this. We need to get something else going. They want to get motorized carriages. Jelaine and I, my stepdaughter and I, were in New York City, and we took a rickshaw where a guy was riding a bicycle, and we sat in the back, and he drove us around. That's what you do. People get to make a choice.
That's right. Good segment. And it's always good to get the news out there, Wendy, about that, because a lot of people don't think. It's like puppy mills
they
and all these things.
They just want to get, oh, it's a tourist attraction. Right. Let's get on the horse and buggy ride.
They saw it in a movie or something.
It's a bad thing to do.
Hey, I want to thank Ogama for the news, Wendy for her sacred animal section, as always, and Amber Torres, chairperson of Walker River Paiute Tribe. We'll be back tomorrow.
Free Leonard Peltier.
Now.